Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday evening, July 8th, 2010. It is now 8.01 p.m. Standard Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. I repeat, 646-652-4620. Or send us email anytime to comments at libertytalkradio.com. That's comments at libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, Sutton-Associates. That's Sutton-Associates.net. In his newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You could also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on our on the subscribe icon. Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Liberty Talk Radio. This is going to be a little different than other broadcasts. This is going to be an evening broadcast during the week, first time we've been doing this. It's being done in an effort to stimulate more call-ins. Hopefully there'll be more people listening because it'll be a more convenient hour. We don't know if that's true. It's an experiment, and we do hope we are right this time. We do encourage people to call because from your questions, we can discuss and analyze the true concept of liberty. I need to know what is on your mind so we can address it. Now, do I have the answers to everything? Absolutely not. I do not. However, if I do not have the answer, I promise you, and I've always kept my promise on this, I will find the answer and get back to you, either in the next broadcast, have you on a broadcast, or via email. But I prefer to do it on a broadcast so everyone can have benefit of that. Am I wrong sometimes? Rarely, but I am wrong. And when I am, I will post a retraction, but explain what I did that was wrong so we can all be on the same page. Folks, the problem that we face today, politically, economically, and socially, is the fact that we are never talking the same issue. Never are we talking the same issue. We are talking two issues, but for example, this is a long time ago, I was speaking to an elderly gentleman, an old friend of ours, of the family, and he was really against immigration because they were taking advantage of our welfare system. And I said, well, then really you are disagreeing with the welfare system. And he got angry. He said, no, I'm against immigration. I said, but you're against immigration because they're taking advantage of the welfare system. What if there was no welfare system? He would not answer. So we're always talking about something different. We carry all of our prejudices, all of our baggage with us. And when we do that, we cannot have an open and honest discussion. This is frightening to me because we can never get to the true core of our problems when we discuss things as the Republicans and the Democrats and the politicos discuss them on a regular basis. I like to start, at least tonight, and I don't even know where we're going today, but I do want to talk about immigration because that really grabs me. It grabs me so bad I can't stand it. And I hear more things about immigration, about illegal immigration. Isn't it strange, though, folks? Isn't it incredibly strange that here we have an issue that is in front of us on a daily basis, but yet 10 years ago, it was not an issue. We had the same number of people coming in. We had everything happening 10 years ago and 20 years ago that are occurring today. But yet it was never an issue. I'd like to know from someone, if someone can call in 646-652-4620, and please tell me why immigration was especially with Mexico, we're referring to Mexico, not Canadians, with Mexico today, when 20 years ago, when the circumstances were exactly the same. Exactly the same. People were coming over the border. They were just walking across, taking jobs, just like they are doing today, only they're climbing fences now. Why is it any different today than it was 20 years ago? I'd love to hear an answer to that. Because in that answer, there are some core issues that need to be discussed. And the core issues are what we do not want to discuss. Because the core issues, when we get to the core issues, we violate our belief systems. We will not give up. We will not put to rest. We will not change our belief systems. This is a problem. And our beliefs, and I'm not talking about going to church on Sunday. I'm talking about what we believe to be correct, whatever it may be. It could be that you believe that every Chevy is better than a Ford, for example. I mean, it's just a belief system, but you don't have anything to back it up. Chevys could be falling apart, and Fords could be awarded the best car of the year, but we still think Chevys are Ford because we have a belief system that is such. I'm making that up, obviously, or you can take anything, fill in the blank, and throw in your own belief system. We all have them. We must fight them. We must eradicate them from our minds when we are discussing the issues that are before us. Because without giving up our belief systems, we can never get to the core issues. We can never, and we can, well, maybe we can get to the core issues, but it's usually at gunpoint. I can't tell you how many times I ask people core issues, and the answer I get is, "What do you think? What are you, a communist?" You know, instead of saying, "What did that have to do with the conversation? I didn't bring up communism," but yet they get angry. And what they're trying to do is avoid attacking or addressing, not attacking, but addressing their own core issues so they can find out exactly what is going on. This is a real problem in America. A friend of mine, a friend of my son's, who I also know, he is a professional musician and just came back from the Netherlands. And he was playing in Belgium and those places. And he came back and I said, "How did you like that?" He said, "It was really strange." He said, "You know, after we would play at a gig, basically," and he said, "we would go to the audience and sit with the people that were listening or the people our age, and we would be talking." And he says the girls would be sitting there and they'd want to talk about political issues, governmental issues, social issues, religious issues. And he says, "I wasn't accustomed to that. We never discussed things like that in the United States. I found that so refreshing, so exhilarating that we had people, actually young people, who were thinking and we are not thinking at all, not thinking worth a darn." And it's really a shame. It's a shame that we are doing that. Now, let me start with with an article that I read written by Jacob Hornberger. Now, he is the executive director of the Future of Freedom Foundation. And folks, allow me to suggest that you get online and you subscribe. It's absolutely free of charge. FFF.org, futureoffreedomfoundation.org, FFF.org. And you will get a daily listing of articles that you may want to read. And you don't have to. You click it off. It's very easy. I usually find an article or two that I enjoy reading in there. Now, in July 4th, 2008, that's 2 years ago, Mr. Hornberger. Oh, by the way, I not only subscribe to them online, but I financially support their organization. I've never met these gentlemen before, but they do an incredibly wonderful job. I also support the Foundation for Economic Education. That's the FEE.org. FEE.org, Foundation for Economic Education. They have a wonderful magazine. By the way, they have magazines, too, that they'll send to you. And if you send them a little donation, you'll get it forever. And on a monthly basis, and the articles are really interesting. I recommend that you read at least some of the articles every month in the future, in the Foundation for Economic Education every month, because it'll open your minds to some of the brightest thinkers. And the same thing with the Future of Freedom Foundation. You can see where they get to the core issue. You can be conversing, even if it's in your own, in the privacy of your own home, you will in fact be conversing with some of the best minds regarding freedom. And you'll get to appreciate what that is. Jacob Hornberger wrote an article, like I said, July 4th, 2008. He said the meaning of the 4th of July. He said, you know, did you know that the men... And we're going to get to this is going to tie into the immigration issue. Don't worry. I'll get there. This will only be a 45-minute program. But I do encourage you to call 646-652-4620. Now, many people say, oh, I would have called. They sent me an email. I would have called, but I didn't want to interrupt your dialogue. No, this program is for you. I want you to interrupt me as much as you want. Call 10 times if you want. Please, this is your program. It's for you. I can rant all I want, but I do not know what's on your mind, and I'll never get to your core issue, which is what I want to get to, unless you do call in. So please do call in 646-652-4620. Now, if you are listening to this program... on a rebroadcast, or now we have it, by the way, on podcast, and we are revamping a lot of things for this program because we're going to make it more convenient, more accessible, and we're just strengthening up, and we're also going to start streaming. I think we're going to have a streaming on a remote server, whatever that means. We're going to do that, so we will be streaming 24 hours a day. In addition to our archives. Now, that we haven't done that yet. This is what's being proposed, and I said I'll be more than happy to pay for it because that's the professional way to promote this. And this is one of the few stations, folks, the few radio stations that actually gets to the core of liberty and gets away from these issues like you would hear on Rush Limbaugh, on Hannity, on even, I have to mention... what's that guy who calls himself a libertarian? In fact, I heard him this morning. I can't remember his name. He's on... I'm sorry, I forgot. His name escapes me for the moment. And I would like to broaden our reach as much as possible and also at the same time attract people calling in. All right, now, on this article... Jacob Hornberger said, the men who signed the Declaration of Independence, you know, we consider, you know, they were patriots, you know, they were real men, you know, we hold them in highest regard. No, they weren't. They weren't American patriots, folks. These guys were Englishmen, very, very Englishmen. And they were traitors. They were traitors. And their actions would have gotten them hung if the government could have round them up. All of them deserved to be hung for treason. Do you understand that, folks? Is that our founding father, who we, you know, and this goes to everything. You know, we say that, you know, we are in a foreign country fighting this war or fighting the bad guys, you know, and fighting the terrorists. No. And they're the Al-Qaeda, they're the Taliban. No, they are the patriots, folks. They are the patriots. Just like our patriots were, in fact, Englishmen deserving of being hung because of treason. Now, I want you to understand that. You know, we cannot pick and cherry pick who we think is a traitor. Well, we take this side, then that side, then this side, and this side. No, they stood against the wrongdoings and tyranny of their own government at the risk of losing their own lives. Being hung. How would you like the risk of being hung because you are disagreeing, you know, with the government? And that's where we're going today. That's what you have to understand. These people were Englishmen, not Americans. They weren't patriots. They were traitors. And they were deserving to be hung. You see where I'm coming at now? Now, the real significance of the 4th of July lies in the expression that a person's right is inherent, either God-given or naturally given, depending on your religious persuasion, and thus does not come from government. They were saying, government in England, you don't own me, I own me, and my rights are inalienable rights, and these inalienable rights cannot be taken away from me. They cannot be altered. They cannot be subjugated by government. And this is a person. Now, when they said that, they said all people. They didn't say people within the confines of the United States. People who are 6'2" and there was no qualification. They said people. And when they said people, they meant everyone around the world. They were addressing directly the people that were settling in the United States there wasn't no United States, but the people settling in that land at that time, because that's where they were. But they were speaking for the planet Earth when they said, our rights are given to us by our God or by Mother Nature or however you want to describe it, and it does not come from government, and we have inalienable rights that cannot be taken away from government, that taken away from us by government. We don't get it from government. It doesn't take away. In fact, government exists only because we establish government to protect those inalienable rights. Now, you have to understand that, folks. And you say, well, get on with it. All right, enough with inalienable rights. No, it's not enough. Because without understanding that, truly understanding and saying, yes, I understand that. Deep down inside, I understand that. We can go nowhere. Folks, my name is Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. We are talking today about our inalienable rights and how it applies to immigration and other issues. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. Please do call in. And if you disagree with me, please call in. Please, let's discuss this. You can send me email at any time. comments@libertytalkradio.com. You know, we have been led to believe that our rights come from government. Our inalienable rights come from government. Every time we do something today, we go, well, you know, do you have permission? Do you have a license? What about the regulations and the taxation? No. We should be free people, free in every sense. Governments have been established by the people as a protector, not a destroyer of these inalienable rights. What is it about that no one seems to understand? But what governments eventually do, governments conjure up situations where they have to restrict our rights for our own protection, and they do a great job of promoting that and selling that to us. Excuse me. We have to bomb another country and occupy another country 7,000 miles away. Oh, for your own protection. They're very dangerous, you know. You know, we have to really think. The people in Afghanistan, the people in Iraq, in Iran, and the people in Iran have inalienable rights. Now, their government may not buy that. but they do have inalienable rights. They are no different than us. And if we should be fighting for one thing, we should be a beacon to the world. A beacon that everyone will gravitate to. Everyone around will gravitate to and say, that's where I want to live. That's what I want to be. That is what I want representing me. Now you would say, oh, everyone in the world would come to us. No, they would not all come to us. Some would. But people would wake up around the world and recognize that governments don't provide you with your inalienable rights, don't give you permission to possess your inalienable rights. They can only destroy them. That's the only things that governments could do. Now, do we seem to understand that? And our founding fathers knew that the federal government, a federal government, was really the threat. Not foreign governments. They don't mention foreign governments in the Constitution at all or the Declaration of Independence, but they do reference our own federal government. In other words, the Constitution was written not to protect us from Saddam Hussein or whomever, or Ahmadinejad in Iran. It was written so that it would protect us from our own government. I mean, just really, I want that to sink in. I want it to sink in until it hurts. And when you realize that, when you recognize that our own government is the enemy, then you'll start shedding that crust that you have, that big protective layer around these belief systems about government that should be dissolved so that you can throw them away. You have to understand that. Now, I want to get to immigration. Understand, if you understand the first part of this, maybe you'll understand the second part. The second part's going to be very difficult to understand. All right? To comprehend. Unless you understand the first part of this broadcast. Let's say a person in Texas wants to invite a person who lives in Monterrey, Mexico, to come over his house. Come on over, have some barbecue with me. Why should he have to go to a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. to get permission to do that? We have a call on the line. Here we go. Let's see if I snap it in here now. Caller, you're on the air. Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Jim from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, Jim, hi. Thank you for calling in. You have a comment or a question this evening?
A little bit of both, Joe. It seems to me that this immigration issue, despite all the rhetoric coming from Congress and the administration, that very little is actually getting done from a policy point of view to make any changes from past administrations. Again, there's a feeble attempt to build a wall. I know there's a potential feud or a legal battle between the Arizona law and the federal government, but beyond that, it seems like it's all talk and no significant policy decisions one way or the other. What do you think should be the administration's approach and policy, and what do you think is the best or ideal solution to the myriad of issues that primarily the immigration from south of the border, the impact that it's had on our country, socially, economically, et cetera?
Well, Jim, that gets to the core issue. I want to get to the core problem. The core problem is that the government is creating a problem. If I wanted to invite someone from Monterrey, Mexico, to come to my house, why couldn't he just come to my house? Why do I need permission from someone, a bureaucrat in Washington, to tell me whether or not he can visit with me? We don't do that if someone comes from Kansas or from Utah or from California. Maybe from California we would, but no, we wouldn't do that. In other words, if we believe that we have inalienable rights, then we have inalienable rights right across the board for everyone. There should be no borders. What is the purpose of a border? It's an imaginary line. Why couldn't this person come in? If I want to invite this person over my house and say, by the way, Jose, I'd like for you to work in my factory. Well, do so, work in my factory. Why would that affect anyone else? Why is it anyone else's business at that point? Now,
Joe's logical as that approach sounds, I think you'd agree in this day and age it's a utopian and unrealistic reality that it would ever come to fruition. And I don't know, is there any country that has that kind of open border liberal policy? I'm not aware of.
Absolutely. You go to some of the borders between, let's say, France and Switzerland. You know what the border is?
Okay.
There's a little stone on the corner on a sidewalk in a corner, and one side it has S on it. And on the other side, it has F on it. And guess what the S stands for and the F and the S stands for? You know, Switzerland and France. And people come and go all day long, and you wouldn't know if you were in France or you were in Switzerland. Now, one reason why it's not a problem is because France and Switzerland are not at war with one another. They don't bother each other. They don't care who comes and goes. You see, the problem is that we create the problem. We create a problem. Now they say, well, can I come over here and they're going to the drugs? I said, yes, and that's the problem. The government is making drugs illegal. If drugs were legal, that would not be an issue. Jim, let me get someone else on the wire. Hold on. Stay on the wire. Let's see who else we have here. Caller, you're on the line. I just clicked you on. Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Hey, Joe. This is Joe. How you doing?
Okay, Joe. Is this Joe from Montana?
Yeah, this is Joe from Montana.
Hey, that's wonderful. Joe, I may visit you someday. I think one of these days I'm going to give everything up and go to Montana. Jim, Joe, I have Jim on the wire from Bixby. Actually, he's from Bixby. I know Jim, so he's from Bixby, Oklahoma, near Tulsa. And I still have him on the line, but that's fine. Joe, what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you, Joe, about immigration. I'm a person who wants no immigrants, legal or illegal, in this country anymore. And the reason is because I heard you just as I got here about imaginary borders.
Right.
Borders are there for a reason. For centuries, certain types of cultures have been within certain land masses, and they want to maintain those land masses. And in order to avoid confusion, you have borders. Now, in the example you're giving between France and Switzerland, if somebody from France goes over to Switzerland, they'll find a lot of people who will speak French. So it's not going to be that much of a problem. Plus, Switzerland isn't that huge. And another thing, Switzerland is a different country all by itself if you want to get into the New World Order type of politics. But be that as it may, let's take our country. We're lucky. We just speak English. The people who come over here don't speak English. If you can't speak English, you can't assimilate. If you can't assimilate and you can't get good jobs, you're automatically relegated to the lower rung of the socioeconomic ladder. And that's a fact. Now, let's take another thing. Let's take away immigration, because a lot of people might focus on that and say, I might be immigration phobic. Let us say, for example, I'm going to pull this out of the air. The United States would be optimally maintained if it had 100 million people. Let's say the economists got together and said 100 million people, then the culture of America, politically, economically, in terms of natural resources, it could be maintained and sustained optimally at 100 million. So anything over that significantly is going to drag on the United States of America. So, can you imagine if you have, right now we have 300 million Americans. I don't know if 300 million is the optimum number. I don't know. But I doubt it. And I think it's probably way over. In any case, think about the drag on the natural resources of any country, the more people you allow into that country, especially if they don't assimilate well. Most of the time, when I talk to people who have your holistic and humanistic, very Christian attitude toward, you know, let everybody come in, usually they've never lived with immigrants. I've already lived in two neighborhoods with immigrants. You don't want immigrants in your neighborhood, okay?
Okay.
You do not want poor people in your neighborhood. You don't want people who can't assimilate in your neighborhood. Not to say that the majority might be good people, but it only takes 10% of them to bring down real estate values and to start destroying the value of a neighborhood by putting out garbage when they shouldn't, by doing other things in public when they shouldn't, by having kids who can't assimilate in the public schools. If the kids are born here and they attend schools from the first grade up, there's really no problem. You know, usually the first generation Americans, they usually get along fine, they assimilate.
Right.
You know, so I'm against, well, you know, your holistic view that, you know, hey, have anybody come on over here. No, because most of the time, the people who will come over here are going to be of a peasant type of nature. Otherwise, they would have stayed in their country.
All right.
That's what I have to say.
Joe, you know I love you. I appreciate
but
I do, you know,
agree,
I really do. I mean, I appreciate you calling it. Now, I really do. I mean, I say that jokingly because I say that on TV and all this other stuff. But we can do, you know what? We got to do another program. You've got to call in next week. I've got to call you or something or send you email or whatever. Just send me email so I have it. And you and I have to set up a broadcast. Let me very quickly just broach each one of those issues, right? As far as cultures are concerned, we are the melting pot of the world. I come from the streets of New York City, all right? Talking about a melting pot, I mean, there was not two people from the same place where I lived. I mean, there were Puerto Ricans, there were Cubans, there were Italians, there were Irish, there were blacks, and not only blacks, there were blacks from all parts of the globe. I mean, talking about a melting pot. In fact, I sang doo-wop in the 50s. I'm one of the few that are still alive. I'm 67. Most of them are dead, you know? And I was one of the first, and if not the first, fully integrated singing group. Freddie was our lead. He was a black guy, you know? Had a voice that was heavenly, right? Our second tenor was Carlos Rivera, right? Puerto Rican, right? Wonderful person. I have to admit that our baritone was an Italian guy and I was an Italian guy, so we weren't all that mixed. But you see what I mean? We really are that. You know, we say on the Statue of Liberty, give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. And the thing is that when we came over here, I want to know if the first people who came over here received a slip from the Indians saying, here is your free pass to enter our country. Well, no, they didn't. We came over there and we said, hey, we like this place. We like it so much. We're going to kill you. And then once we kill them, in effect, we say, well, now that I'm here, hey, you can't come in anymore. Now, wait a minute. We're being a little disingenuous once we say that. And as far as assimilate cultures are concerned, man, look at Louisiana. Man, I can't even understand those people. Look at Georgia. I mean, look at California. I mean, talking about a mixture of cultures, this is what this place is all about, is a mixture of cultures. And people really do assimilate. And as far as people coming here and not speaking the language, so what? Really, so what? And if I had a neighborhood, I was in this $500,000 neighborhood, and I'm going to say, oh, all these immigrants moving in. Well, if the immigrant can't afford a $20,000 home, how is he going to move next door to me? I mean, you know, let's face it. Now, if you say, well, they blockbust, they get these real... No, then you have a problem with the real estate person. You don't have a problem with the immigrant. You know what? what you're saying sounds great, but doesn't hold an ounce of water. Not an ounce. And I still love you, Joe. Don't stop listening to my program.
All right, I understand.
You know, not an ounce of logic. Because we are all free, and these lines of demarcation are imaginary lines. And we make them because we say, everyone here are our rules. Now, we can't go to Mexico and say, this is our rules. It is only to say, we're going to protect our people here. There may be a dictator in Mexico. No, we're not going to infringe upon that. That's somebody else's problem. But if the person from Mexico wants to come here, fine. And as far as the population is concerned, you're from Montana. I've never been to Montana. I've been to Wyoming, right? But you drive around, and you drive forever, for hours and hours, and you don't see anything but these little animals, antelopes, or what they call them, you know, running all over the fields. I mean, we are such an underpopulated nation. It is pathetic. But even if we became overly populated and we couldn't take any more, the natural population levels would ameliorate that. I mean, people want to come in. You say you want to come in, fine. There ain't no room for you. There ain't no jobs for you. What is a person going to do? They say, hey, you know, I think I'll stay in my own country. Now, the only reason why we have immigration problems is because the government establishes rules and regulations that restrict my rights. They tell me I can't take drugs. You know, and I don't take drugs. I don't want to take drugs. But they say I can't take drugs. Because they restrict people from taking drugs, drugs are very expensive. It's lucrative. So people in Mexico get in the drug business and they bring it over here. And the only reason why they're in the drug business is this: they're fulfilling our need. They're doing us a favor. Think about it. We want drugs. They make it. Sounds good to me. Now, you know, that wouldn't happen in a true free society because drugs would be so cheap. The guy says, hey, come on. I'm not going to make all these drugs and make 2 cents an hour. That's not worth it. You know, I think I work at McDonald's. You know, I probably won't get brain damage that way. You know, I'll just get overweight. But you see what I mean? The core issue is that we have inalienable rights. Now, hold on a second. I want everyone to hold on. I got another issue here. I got another person calling in here. Hold on a second. Jim, are you still there? Jim?
Yes, I am.
All right. Hold on a second. We have a third caller. Caller, your area code is 770. May I have your first name and where you're calling from?
Yes, Joe. This is Adam from Atlanta.
Mr. Adam, how are you?
Great, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for listening in.
It's great. Certainly.
Oh, by the way, Adam, before you start, Adam, I have to, I didn't anticipate all these calls this evening, and I go off in about 6 minutes. So I want to let everyone know that I'm just not hanging up on them because I'm hacked off at them. But I have to get off in about 5 minutes. I need to disconnect so I can close down the station. I would love to continue this next Thursday night if you'd like to do that. But please go on. I'll give the next couple of minutes to you.
Sure. I'll try to be brief so you can allow for other callers to chime in.
Okay.
But I did want to say that you're absolutely right. You'll never solve the immigration issue without solving the welfare state. And in order to solve the welfare state, you'll never fix it. You have to eliminate it.
That's right. I agree. Yeah,
and that
absolutely.
Way, whoever comes over here will come over here for one purpose, and that is to work.
Right.
I will say that when my grandparents came over from Russia before the Bolshevik Revolution, the difference between the immigrants then and the immigrants now is that the immigrants then, they bowed to the American culture. They had to learn language.
Right.
They had to assimilate. They had to become part of the culture.
Right.
In fact, they did so successfully that you almost didn't realize that they were foreigners after a while.
Yeah.
Today's immigrant, the country bends to them.
Right. Well, it's not the immigrant that's changed. It's the country that has changed. If people came here and said, I get nothing unless I dig in and I learn what I have to learn, get a job, become productive, become a craftsman, whatever the case may be, and they know if I don't, I will starve to death. Different ball game.
Precisely.
Yeah. Oh, and let me add something.
What motivates them?
Okay, please go. Yes. Yeah, get, I'll let you go. I'm sorry. I said I'd give you the next 5 minutes. Go ahead, please. Oh, go ahead, Adam.
Yes. No, I was just going to say that what would then motivate today's immigrants to learn the language, to assimilate, to fit in with the culture, to become part of it? Nothing if the government bends to their wishes. They have nothing to motivate them. But I will say this, that the Mexican-Americans that I've encountered here are extremely hardworking individuals.
Same with
a
me.
A quick example I'll give
admit.
You.
Yeah.
That recently my fiancé hired some to do some work for them in her yard. They worked from sunup to sundown in very,
absolutely,
very hot temperatures.
Right.
Very rarely took a break. And my point is this. I felt guilty because I thought I had a terrific work ethic.
Right.
But it was nothing compared to these
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
And they, they put me to shame, and I still feel ashamed. And I'm rather successful.
Yeah.
So they are very hardworking. And if you take away the free education, free health care, free food, shelter, clothing, all the entitlement programs, they will come here to do just one thing, and that is work.
That's right. That's why they come here. Yeah.
When they do that, it will improve society and improve the nation.
Right. And, you know, and if someone comes here and they just want to speak Vietnamese, speak Vietnamese. Now, the big argument, now, all three of you, listen to this carefully, and not only you, but the millions of people listening to this radio program right now. But if the big argument is, well, you can't have an army with all people speaking different languages. Yes, you can if you do not have an army that unnecessarily attacks other nations. In other words, if you have a pure defensive nation where we're going to defend ourselves, which means everybody's in that group. I mean, someone comes to our show and they start shooting, we all pick up something, pitchforks, you know, BB guns, whatever we have. You don't have to, it's not necessary that everyone speak the same language because you're not giving many people many orders. Now you're going to have a core group and they're going to speak English, you know, one language. But they do learn, and the people who are coming here today are speaking or learning English at the same rate, if not a higher rate, than they did back 100 years ago when they came. I know my father was an immigrant. He did learn English. Oh, God, he spoke terrible. You know, he'd have spoken like this. So, you know, we always teased him. But they didn't learn, and there were people in my family who never spoke English, and they were here nearly all their lives. You know, folks, I want right. to thank Jim. Thank you for calling in. Joe, thank you for calling in. Adam, thank you for calling in. I'm sorry, but I have to shut down. I didn't know we were going to have so many guests. If so, I would have put this to an hour and a half program. I apologize. Let me ask all three of you guys very quickly. Is 8 o'clock on Thursday a good time to broadcast? Or what's the best time? You tell me. I'll broadcast whenever you say it's the best time to broadcast.
Well, which time zone?
Central.
Oh. Central time zone?
Yeah.
All right.
And I want to consider everyone. I don't care about myself. I want to cater to the audience, obviously.
I think evening's better, Joe, for not for me, but for the public at large.
Okay, Joe, what about you?
Well, let's see. You're going to be closing down in 1 minute, and so.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I got about 1 minute.
8 o'clock.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I go by Eastern Standard Time
okay.
and Pacific Time.
Okay.
So that's what most people are. Normally,
yeah. Tell me either one. Make it quick. I don't want to shut you off. You know.
Okay, 8 o'clock Eastern time.
8 o'clock Eastern time. Adam, what's your opinion?
It's fine for me, Joe. I'd love to see you have expanded program to 2 hours.
Oh boy!
I think
okay.
you could easily fill the time. Slot.
Yeah. Well, if people call in, absolutely. All right. Hey, I want to thank you guys very, very much. I have to shut down now because I'm going to lose my line, and I don't want to shut you guys off, okay? Thank you so much for calling in, and please listen in. I will try to make this a more convenient time for everyone, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Wow, that was so neat. That was so neat. I really enjoyed that. Oh boy, I am really pleased. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. They control your ride and every move. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, and hopefully maybe we'll make it again next Thursday at 8 o'clock or something like that, please look at our blog and check out times, okay? And do send me emails and comments at libertytalkradio.com. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Crisciano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.